not the way you wanted to start. This is true. 5-2 loser in game one of the NLCS. It's True Blue. Hour of Cubs special programming here on 720 WGN. Myself, Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz here with you. Had a 2-0 lead, Harry. Albert Almora Jr. with the 2-run shot off of Clayton Kershaw. We stood up at Mother Hubbard's. We were high-fiving our great crew, Chelsea and John and Dave. We were all in there. And then Jose Quintana could not find the strike zone. Yasiel Puig had his moment. The Cubs bullpen showed up in the form of Hector Rondon. And we had a very questionable play at the plate, and which we'll get to in a second. Joe Romano is monitoring who's talking. So here's Anthony Rizzo out at Chavez Ravine.
The players on the field a little bit. You don't know the rule. You just don't know the rule. I mean, what is Wilson supposed to do? He was going for the ball. He stepped towards the ball. So, you know, you run him over, you get labeled as a dirty player. It's just a weird rule that I think it's safe to say if that decided, you know, at the elimination game from the playoffs, you just don't see it getting overturned. But, you know, I think live, it's everyone's playing hard. It's catcher taught not to block the plate. So, what do you do about it, though?
What's your bullpen struggling? Do you feel like
that was Rizzo talking about the play at the plate?
A lot of innings, obviously, in the last series. And
Joe Maddon got ejected.
Yeah, I mean, we got to score runs no matter what. It doesn't matter who's pitching, our starter or bullpen. It's a position player. We got to score some runs. But it's part of it. It's part of the journey. It's part of the process.
Physically and mentally, Anthony, how much did fatigue maybe play a role in this game?
None.
I mean, I think zero. I think we came in, everyone was ready, everyone had good energy in the dugout, per usual, and, you know, it's once those lights turn on, it's just different adrenaline you get. You can't explain it.
So there you go, Anthony Rizzo out at Dodger Stadium. Harry, the dance floor is yours. How are you feeling? Let it out. What do you got?
It's disappointing to lose a game where you're up 2-0 and facing the Cy Young Award winner to have him go after five innings. Quintana was out pitching Clayton Kershaw. You're not going to win a lot of games if the last 18 men you send to the plate make out.
That is very true, and that is exactly what happened. The Cubs did not hit the Dodgers bullpen, right, which is a huge concern coming into the series. They have a great bullpen. You got to have the lead when you get to the Dodger bullpen. That's
right.
Part of it.
The Cubs are still going to win the series. You went out to L.A. to split. You went out to L.A. to come home 1-1. You've got John Lester, whose playoff record speaks for itself, tomorrow against former Cubs southpaw Rich Hill. Got to like your chances tomorrow. I was happy to see Rondon on the roster. I would have kept Justin Wilson on the roster and had Martin off of it. But Rondon comes in and gives up a bomb, which is not good. Mike Montgomery came in and did poorly as well. The weakness on his team, if you had asked, you know, 100 Cub fans, I'm sure 90 would have said going into the playoffs, bullpen is the weakness. And the bullpen has continued to be a weakness. I would also not have had Schwarber in left. He made an awesome throw. What a great throw on that horrible call. But the play before that, it should have been a single, but Schwarber, by the time he got to the ball and threw it in, the guy was standing at second base. So there were a lot of things that didn't go right for the Cubs. And it's a very, very hard bullpen to come back against. But I remain positive. I like the Cubs' chances.
Let's hear from Wilson Contreras.
I mean, an offensive play. I mean, the ball choked me to that position. I cannot do anything. Like, I cannot do more. I did what I needed to do, but sadly the rule is that I'm supposed to block the play. So, like I said, we need to go to Walmart and get some touch and landing plate out there.
What did it mean to you that Joe went out there to disagree and got thrown out because he knew he didn't?
He was right. It was right. The right thing to do for me.
How about what Jose did for you guys tonight, especially coming off the last day and a half for him?
He's been having a long few days, but he did great. He did great. Sadly, two walks made them a rally in the last inning that he threw. But to me, he was good 2-5.
From your standpoint, what happened with the bullpen tonight?
Oh, we just a lot of mislocations, a lot of walks, and that's one thing that cannot happen in postseason games.
Well, so ultimately that play at the plate didn't matter because you didn't score any more runs as a team. How disappointing is it to not have a great outing from Kershaw and not be able to capitalize, especially when you had an early lead?
It's really frustrating. You know, we came here to win the game, but they played better than us. Our pitcher, they weren't able to locate the fastball, to locate the pitches, and we got paid.
Wilson Contreras. So the play at the plate, let's just explain it one more time here if you were not watching the game or if you were. And if you want to join us, by the way, 312-981-7200.
Because Rizzo said he wasn't sure of the rule.
Well, look, the bottom line, throw from left to the plate, runner coming to the plate, Contreras catches the ball as he's extending his left leg, and they ruled he clearly never touched the plate. But the call was overturned because he was ruled to be illegally blocking the plate. Now, the rule was put in because players, all-star caliber players like Buster Posey of the San Francisco Giants, were getting cracked into and blowing out their knees.
Guys in the minors were getting their careers ended before they ever got up to the bigs.
Right, so they were trying to protect the players. So this is where I like to live my life. Not in a black and white world, but in a gray world. So if you have to be able to interpret
50 Shades of Gray?
Yeah, well, listen, you should be a human being and be able to interpret. In the spirit of the rule, was Wilson Contreras taking advantage of the situation to try to block the plate? And clearly he was not. He was making a baseball play, and if the runner had slid feet first, he would have knocked Contreras out and would have gotten the plate. He tried to go head first. It didn't work out because Contreras was doing a great job. It was not what the rule was intended for, and it messed the Cubs tonight. Didn't really matter. They didn't score another run.
Now, I hope I
explained that correctly.
Contreras did not extend his
made sense. Yeah.
Contreras did not extend his left leg.
He really didn't.
Until he was catching the ball. I think that, yes?
Let's hear from Kyle Schwarber real quick.
I know you have to give them the lane, but what it looked like at first is Wilson actually did give him the lane. Then when the ball was coming in, he stepped into the lane. That's pretty much how we're taught as catchers when we're getting brought up. And so now that that happened, I'm sure that there's going to be, probably teaching it a little bit different now.
Sometimes the ball takes the catcher. The ball's in the lane already. So how do you play that as a catcher?
It's tough. I think you played exactly how Wilson played it. I mean, the ball brought him into the line, and he stuck his foot out there to get himself down a little bit lower and try to make that guy go away. And I think he did a good job there. It's just an unfortunate call.
Kyle, you guys have faced three of the best pitchers in the world over the last week, but collectively, do you guys feel like you need to put some more points on the board?
We always want to score as many as we can. And, Albert put a really good swing on the ball today. And, I felt like we put up some pretty good at-bats there. Obviously, it was, Kirsch was out there, and we got him out in five innings. And, the bullpen came in and they did their job, and you can't hang your head on it. That's why it's a 7-game series. They got the first one. There's a lot more to go.
How about what Q did for you guys?
Cal Schwarber, Dodger Stadium.
What you deal with the last 36 hours?
I can't imagine how that went for him. I'm glad everyone's okay there, and for him to come out and did what he did there, keeping the two runs, it was pretty big. And obviously it just didn't work out for us today. Yeah.
That's Kyle Schwarber out at Dodger Stadium. So I want to be clear here. The Cubs were down 3-2 when the play happened. They were down 4-2 at that point?
Yes. Play made it 5-2.
Okay. They were trailing in the game. So let's not, I don't want the whole narrative from this game to be that the Cubs got screwed and this play changed everything. They were already down. The call didn't go their way. They got a million calls in game five that did. So the real issue right now is that they're not hitting. They're simply not hitting enough. Chris Bryant was 1-for-4 tonight, but does not look like himself. Kyle Schwarber was 0 for 3. Javi Baez 0 for 3. Hasn't had a hit all playoffs long. You're going to have to score some runs, especially against the Dodgers. You're not going to shut these guys out.
And their bullpen is very hard to come back against. It's a very, very strong bullpen. And Kenley Jansen at the end is just a monster. Here's what the Cubs need to do. They need to win tomorrow. Okay? That's it. It's one. I know I've heard this before somewhere. One day at a time. Go get them tomorrow night. Get the win. You went out to L.A. to get a split. You come home 1-1. You got to like your chances. This is a team that laughs in the face of, you know, the odds are stacked against you. You should have won that game. How could you blow that game? Remember, a week ago Saturday, they had a lead, and Bryce Harper homered, and then the same inning, Ryan Zimmerman homered, and everybody's like, oh, there it goes. They should have won that game. Look, the Cubs are going to be just fine, and it's a tough loss to take. But the reality of it is they didn't lose because of the rule. They lost because 18 guys in a row went up to the dish, and nobody got a hit, and nobody got on base, and the bullpen has been subpar.
Charlie Culberson, by the way, was the player at the plate that Contreras tagged out and went against him, who was their eighth hitter, who was in the lineup because Corey Seager, the Dodgers' second-year shortstop, who had the most hits on their team, is out for the entire series with a back injury. And if you believe in something called zips, which measures the probability of wins, the Dodgers were a 57% likelihood to win the series with Seager. The Cubs are a 50.1% edge coming into the series without Seager. So if you're looking for some positivity, Harry, I got zips for you. You happy with the zips?
Are they Akron zips?
It's not the Akron zips. Hey, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. and stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN TV. 312-981-7200. Kevin Powell is out at Dodger Stadium getting his own reaction from the players. We'll also hear from Kevin after the 11:30 news. We got an hour to play with tonight, so feel free to join on in. Any panic, we'd love to hear from you. We'll talk you off the ledge.
I've got the exact Joe Maddon quote here, and he uses the F word twice.
Great. We're going to let's make that clean. We'll clean that up and bring it to you coming on back here. 720 WGN.
High and deep to left field. Schwarber can't find it, and he's at the wall. It's gone! Just over the fence, a wall scraper, and Yasiel Puig has given the Dodgers a two-run lead.
That highlight courtesy of TBS, Kyle Schwarber, not going to win any gold gloves out in left field. Thanks again to NBC Sports Chicago for the locker room coverage as well. NBC Sports Chicago was on there yesterday with Cap doing Sports Talk Live, and I told him, for the record, that Jason Hayward would not be in right field, and he wasn't, so at least we got that one right tonight. We got Albert Almora. Is that what we got here? Little Almora.
Well, that's so confusing and complicated when it doesn't go your way.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we didn't score any more runs after that, so it really didn't affect much, but I think it does. The momentum does switch if that call goes our way. I mean, I don't get the rule. I mean, it's been a couple of years now, and if we don't hit the catcher, and we can't hit to the plate. If we hit him, we're out. If the catcher makes an unbelievable play to prevent him from scoring, if the throw is unbelievable, like Schwarber's was, and it still doesn't go our way. I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't be saying this if I was on the other side, but hey man, I don't get it, and personally, I don't know what I would do. I'm just gonna try to get it. If I'm in that situation, I'm just gonna try to score.
You come back tomorrow, and you got John.
So that's Albert Almora Jr. Again, thank you to NBC Sports Chicago.
I love it that not only did Almora get the start in center tonight, but he put him in the five hole. He's an aggressive hitter, and he has been buried for most of the season, bottom of the batting order. They used him recently as a leadoff man. He was pretty patient at the plate against the Nationals. I love seeing him in the five hole, and he came through today with a two-run shot. So
he's going to be out there tomorrow, too, against Rich Hill and other lefties.
Yes, he should be. He should be. We're going to see four lefties going in the first two games of this series. So on that play where we thought that Schwarber made the spectacular throw and that Wilson Contreras made the perfect play at the plate to get him out.
Which all was true and all did happen, but it wasn't called that way. Lame rule.
I need a four-letter word starting with F. I'll use Fred.
Here's Joe Maddon.
Where the Fred do you expect him to fretting go?
When he saw that, when he was arguing with every single umpire on the field, that's exactly what he said. So he's saying the same thing to the media afterwards, and I think it's a great question from Joe Maddon. Where do you want him to go? Oh no, I can't stick my leg out that far. I can only go this far. Let me measure the inches so there's an actual piece of the plate. Come on, man. Let's have a little bit of respect to how the game was once played. I'm not saying we need Pete Rose, Ray Fossey, but come on, we can allow a little bit of contact at the plate.
What was horrible about that is it was an all-star game.
Right.
Okay, so here's the thing. That they mentioned in the broadcast that the catcher visits the pitcher too often. Wilson Contreras is probably the guy most guilty of that, and that rule is going to get changed in a few years. That rule is going to get changed next season. I would hope that they would sit down and discuss this rule. You want to leave it in to protect catchers? Fine, but there has to be a way to give an umpire, and Eric Cooper, who's part of this crew, he will rotate onto the field for game three. He was the guy in New York today in front of the TV sets making the call. Eric Cooper followed the letter of the law. There's got to be a way, like you said, gray area for the umpires to say, you know what? Here, I think we can call this guy out.
Well, let me read you the letter of the law. This is what TBS put up, okay? Unless the catcher is in possession of the ball, the catcher cannot block the pathway of the runner as he is attempting to score. If, in the judgment of the umpire, the catcher without possession of the ball blocks the pathway of the runner, the umpire shall call or signal the runner safe.
Without possession.
Right. He had the baseball or was altering himself to catch the baseball. Again, I'm just looking for some common sense. When I cross the street, even if I have the go from the old sign, I still look to see if there's a car coming.
Right.
I mean, we're looking for some common sense here.
You know, there's 100,000 kinds of attorneys, but whether you're like negotiating executives' business deals or you're helping cab drivers bring their family in from some, you know, country far away, any lawyer could go up there and say, he did not have, you know, you can't say he didn't have possession. He had possession. And you know, you heard Schwarber, he was catching the ball and in that motion, his left leg came out. Now, I think Contreras knew that his leg was in a spot to block the runner.
Of course he was trying to block the runner.
Right, but Charlie Culberson was out at the plate and should have been called out. It was terrible that they didn't call him out.
I borderline would expect the Dodgers to be like, you know what, we're not taking that one. That's gross. It's against
the very... Yeah, the Dodgers are going to say that?
It's against the spirit. In my like utopian, let's do what's right world, that's how I would live. The Dodgers would be like, yeah, no, he's out. We're not taking that run. And by the way, we're still going to kick the Cubs behind. That's not how the world works. But in my utopian, let's make things right, and it's not all about winning and losing. That would have been super cool. All right, we got news in 30 seconds, and we have Kevin Powell out at Dodger Stadium, and we have you, if you'd like, 312-981-7200. Dodgers beat the Cubs 5-2. Game 2 tomorrow night, long series. Stay up. This is True Blue, our special Chicago Cubs postgame on 720 WGN.
Justin Turner, and a base hit. Culberson is going to try to score. Throw to the plate. One hop in. The tag. He is.
He got it.
Out at the plate. No call right away, which would tell you that Lance Barksdale thought he didn't touch the plate.
Lance Barksdale was correct. He never did. I still don't know if he's touched the plate.
He did not touch the plate. Yeah. Contreras was Wilson on the spot. Alertly got up and put the tag on him, but it all was for naught because of a rule, a well-meaning rule that was twisted to hurt the Cubs tonight.
Mark Carmen and Harry Tynowitz with you here on our True Blue Cubs playoff special until midnight. Carl and Lisa will be coming up then. Cubs do lose to the Dodgers in game one of the NLCS 5-2. They've got Rich Hill going. The Dodgers do tomorrow. We'll tell you how the Cubs have done against Rich Hill coming up in about 5-6 minutes here, but let's get Kevin Powell in, who's out in L.A. covering the series for WGN Radio. Kevin, we heard some of Joe Maddon, or at least we read some of Joe Madden's quotes. He was as upset after the game as he was on the field, huh?
Yeah, guys, he actually compared the rule to the Chicago soda tax. You guys can kind of break that down and figure out exactly what he meant by that. I don't know. There's a lot to digest from what Maddon just basically told us. He was clearly heated up. Basically, the the consensus from the Cubs in postgame was basically a reflection of everything you saw on Twitter tonight. People are angry. People thought the rule was stupid. Some people defending the rule. Some people saying that, I mean, there's no question he was out. It wasn't a matter of whether he did or did not touch the plate. It was a matter of, did Wilson Contreras break the home plate collision rule, which I think he did, because he didn't have the ball before he put his leg out to block the plate. So that's an infraction of the rule. Do I agree with it? No. But the MLB put it in when Buster Posey got his leg broken, and they didn't want any of their stars to get taken out in collision. That's why it was implemented. That's what Major League Baseball's intending to do. Madden says he, not only does he think, you know, obviously he clearly doesn't like the rule, but he actually thinks they got the call wrong. And I actually kind of disagree with him, because I think they did get the rule right. You know, it's just a really vague, fuzzy rule, because, okay, you tell a catcher you can't be in the lane until you have the ball. But what if the ball is in the lane? What if the ball's coming in the lane between the, and that's sort of what happened tonight. Like, the catcher, you know, and I didn't think it was exactly in the runner's lane, but what happens then? What happens if the ball is coming in the runner's lane? What is the catcher supposed to do?
Or he's just adjusting.
Or he's just adjusting. I mean, it's an impossible rule to enforce when you have situations like this we saw tonight. So you're going to get people that are defending it. You're going to get people that hate it, like Joe Maddon. And I know most Cub fans think it's stupid. I just think that they got the rule right. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's clearly going to upset. You know, and the Dodgers fans would be equally outraged if it went their way.
And it could happen to them tomorrow night, so we'll have to see. Right. But the soda tax, in a state that taxes 9%, the soda tax is 25% on the dollar, which is stupid. So and that's why it was repelled, and that's why Joe Maddon is awesome. KP, the last 18 guys that went to the plate, no soup for them. With the exception of Game 5 against Washington, this is a Cubs team whose bats have gone silent with such a good bullpen waiting in the late innings. How are the Cubs going to generate offense early tomorrow night?
Well, they just got to have better at-bats. Some of the at-bats just looked really bad. You're falling behind early in the counts. Like, Javi Baez had a couple plate appearances where I'm just like, ish. Those are just flashbacks to Javi from when he first came up, and he has those Javi moments, but they can't fall behind in these counts, and they were doing that. Some of their at-bats just didn't look like Cubs at-bats that we've accustomed to seeing over the past year or two, where they grind out at-bats, generate a lot of walks. We just didn't see that tonight. So, obviously, the bats have gone a little cold here. If Rich Hill tomorrow and Albert Elmore, I know all the Albert Elmore fans were hooting and hollering after that two-run homer, because I know a lot of people would like to see him in the lineup regularly.
I would be one of those people. What would the what else? Other highlights from the locker room, Kevin. Tell us some things that we should know.
Well, we asked Kyle Schwarber why he didn't Torrey Hunter that home run ball and climb the fence and grab it, but he found that quite amusing that some people were kind of kidding about that. I don't know what you guys thought. I saw some people ripping Schwarber that he didn't jump or that he could have had a chance in pulling that ball back. I didn't think he had a chance at all. So basically, 90% of the conversation with the players and with Madden was about that home play call. And, you know, Rizzo was like, I don't understand the rule. He doesn't get it, you know. So that's the general consensus in the clubhouse is, you know, they're not too down. Guys, and none of them would admit this, but didn't they look like a team that was playing in a third different city over the course of 4 days?
They do that. I mean, that happens. I know that their flight
got... They were in Chicago, Washington, Albuquerque, and L.A.
Well, it happened
over the course of 4 days.
Well, it happened with the only game the Sox lost in the 2005 World Series run was to the Angels when the Angels were in three time zones in 24 hours. So I mean,
I'm not using any sort of defense. I'm just saying, to me, they looked like a team that was a little out of it. They just didn't look real sharp tonight.
Right, but I mean, they are professionals and they are our Cubs, so we know how awesome they are. Now, I was really surprised that Roberts went and got Kershaw after five innings. He was in the dugout, so he just didn't let him go back on the field. What was the reaction like from the crowd that their Cy Young winner was not coming out?
Yeah, I was a little confused by it too, because I think he was at 87 pitches. Right? Does that sound right, guys? 87 pitches when he was pulled. I thought he probably could have got another inning out of him, but it looked like it was going to be a tight game, and I think with runner was in scoring position when Kershaw
right.
was up. Correct me. Yeah, that's correct. Right. Correct me. And so I think Robert's mindset was, we've got to better our chances here to get any run any way we can. It looked like it was shaping out to be a 2-1, 3-2 game. So I think that was Robert's thinking. I know a lot of Cub fans weren't too happy with Madden pulling Quintana after 5. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I didn't like it.
I don't like it because the bullpen's taxed. And even if Quintana did look like he was slowing it down a little bit on the mound, is he a worse option than what's in that bullpen?
No.
I don't think anybody has a whole lot of faith in that bullpen. And I think Madden, you might see Lackey a little bit more. I mean, there's not a lot of arms in there right now that seem all that fresh other than Davis. But, you look at what Roberts did. He knew, just get the ball to Jansen. And we all figured Jansen would come in either for a 4-out or 5-out save to end the game. So, I'll say this. I think Dave Roberts outmanaged Madden today.
Did anybody ask Madden about using Lackey more?
We did not.
Okay.
We did not talk about that. But I can maybe talk to him about that in pregame tomorrow. I think he will, just because who else are you going to use at this point? Rondon. Madden defended all his decisions. He thought the situation was perfect for Rondon, despite him not pitching in 2 weeks. He liked that. Montgomery, it's just that bullpen, I don't know how you guys feel. It just doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of faith and confidence there right now, and it seems like you got a lot of tired arms, particularly Carl Edwards, too, who's pitched a lot this season. Maybe he's getting worn down a little bit.
Hey, that Cubs bullpen is taxed worse than a bottle of pop in Illinois.
There it is. Kevin, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, fellas. I'll talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks, KP.
KP out in
Chavez Ravine,
Dodger Stadium, as the Dodgers beat the Cubs 5-2. It's interesting. If you want to replay it, he takes Quintana out after 5, after Jose unfortunately lost the strike zone, walked a couple of batters, and Yasiel Puig comes through with a double, and Charlie Culberson, the 8 hitter who's filling in for Corey Seager, hits a sacrifice fly.
That's what hurt, because there were 2 strikes on a bad hitter. And instead of striking him out with the pitcher spot coming up next with 2 outs, he let him get a sac fly, which tied up the game.
Well, he walked Logan Forsythe, their light-hitting second baseman, and he walked Austin Barnes. If you're going to get beat by the Dodgers, you want to get beat by Justin Turner. You want to get beat by...
Right. Barnes is a backup catcher.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger. That's who you're expecting to get beat by. Now they
Cody Bellinger had helped beat him tonight. Don't worry.
Yeah, right.
Bellinger got to help beat him.
Chris Taylor, their leadoff hitter.
Hey, by the way, can the Cubs stop giving up home runs to center fielders named Taylor?
Yeah, that would be nice. But they did give up homers to Michael Taylor, and they won the NLDS, so maybe this could be a pattern, Harry.
Right, and I want Ian Happ in the lineup tomorrow night.
Well, okay, let's take our quick final timeout here. We can sort of take a guess at what Joe Madden will do with the lineup, who we'd like to have in the lineup as the Cubs get ready for Game 2. Try to steal one out at Chavez Ravine.
Not steal.
Okay, get one. My bad. I apologize. Get one in L.A. Come on home for Tuesday night at Wrigley. True Blue, our Cubs special post-game show on 720 WGN.
I cannot disagree more with the interpretation of that rule. However, I will defend the umpires. The umpires did everything according to what they've been told. But I, from day one, have totally disagreed with the content of that rule. I think it's wrong. I think there's anybody that's played Major League or even Minor League Baseball will agree with me 100% on that.
Well, that's a former minor league catcher in Joe Madden talking to you about the rule, so he would know.
The best managers are catchers.
It's a true story, Mike Socha.
Girardi.
Had a rough series, but...
Bruce Bochy.
Long list. So, all right.
Torrey.
Let's move on to Game 2 here. Rich Hill on the mound for the Dodgers. John Lester, 3 days rest, threw 50-some-odd pitches in Game 4, pitched great out of the bullpen. I think he's past his health issues. Rich Hill beat the Cubs last year in the playoffs in a game the Dodgers won 6-0 over Jake Arrieta. And just looking at how people did against Rich Hill that night, Chris Bryant was 2-for-4. Dexter Fowler, no longer with the Cubs, was 1-for-4. Don't really need to mention him, but I just did. Ben Zobrist was 0-for-4. Rizzo was 1-for-3. Baez was 0-for-4. Soler got net bad in that game. Addison Russell was 0-2. Miguel Montero was 0-2. And that basically covers it. So they Rich Hill beat the Cubs last year, and I thought they were going to get to Rich Hill. So and they did not face him this year in either the series at Wrigley in April or out at Dodger Stadium in May. For whatever that's worth, they've seen him. They didn't have great success last year. That doesn't mean they can't get him tomorrow.
Yeah, I like the chances tomorrow. And I like him not so much because I think Rich Hill's not going to do it. I think that John Lester is awesome in the playoffs. His World Series ERA specifically is fabulous. I want to see, even though he hasn't had a hit, and even though he didn't get a hit last year against Mr. Hill, I want to see Javi Baez back in the lineup. Okay? So now you're talking about... Your four infielders are set, your catcher's set, your three outfield spots, who deserves to play there? I don't want Schwarber. I think that with the lefty pitching, I go back to Almora. He's been hitting the ball well. He's a very good fielder. You got to go Almora in center, right?
No question. I think John Jay's in the lineup. To me, it's a decision. Are you going Ian Happ? Well, really,
Zobrist, Ian Happ. Or is he? I mean,
actually, I would not play John Jay tomorrow. I would play Almora in center. I would play
Happen left, Soberson right.
Yep, that's what
I would
do.
That's what I would do as well.
That's and I think that's what they will do.
Ian Happ did not come up until May 13th this year, and he had 24 homers, 24 taters, and he wasn't up until the middle of May. My God, if you project that out for the whole year, it's 34 homers and 68 RBIs. Also, you mentioned Jorge Soler's name. There's a couple former Cubs we really need to thank. Jorge Soler, without you, we wouldn't have Wade Davis.
Thank you, Jorge Soler.
And Jeff Samardzija, who's a really likable guy. Without him turning down gobs and gobs and gobs of money, we wouldn't have Addison Russell.
Thank you, Jeff Samardzija. I had that one wrong. I wanted him to keep Samardzija. Let me throw a wild card at you.
Yes.
I don't think they'll do this. But if Joe wants to get all Joe Madden crazy, you could, in theory, put KB out in left and play
Tommy La Stella?
And play Tommy La Stella.
Lefty on lefty.
I understand. But he's a real pesky La Stella.
He
who's
rakes.
Been going well.
He rakes,
so,
man.
So
he can hit.
If he doesn't like any of the matchups between either Happ or Schwarber or Hayward, then he could, in theory, do something like that. I don't think he will. I think my guess would be it'd be in Happ, but he hasn't played Happ at all.
Jason Hayward is our designated fielder. Most teams in the American League have designated hitters. The Cubs are a team in the National League that has a designated fielder. Doesn't matter how he does at the plate. He just, when he's out there to field. I think you have to start Zobrist because he's just so good in the clutch, so good in the playoffs. Thursday night was the first game that he hadn't started in the playoffs for the Cubs, and he got to him right away. And tonight he got to him first, you know, move he made. The double switch was to get Zobrist in the line, into the lineup. I think Ian Happ deserves a shot, and I do not want to see him at second. I want Javi Baez. You got to have your best defense.
You know who I want to see getting a bat in this series, and I feel like he's going to come through in some weird way? Alex Avila. The forgotten man. The dude was great coming over here. Now, of course, he came to fill in for Contreras when he was hurt.
Right.
And he's the backup
catcher.
The
only good part of that trade.
Yeah. Well, right. And that's the other problem. That is where their bullpen was supposed to be shored up with Justin Wilson. And Justin Wilson was not the pitcher that he was with the Tigers.
No, and they were talking about Justin Wilson being the closer for next year.
Yeah, okay, that's done.
Right. What we've got to worry about is the game is to be played tomorrow night, 6:38 start. We're back with you 10 o'clock tomorrow night, True Blue, right here on WGN Radio. And I think the Cubs are going to win.
Yeah, Rick Kogan will have his show starting at 9, and we'll come on whenever the Cubs game is over. So it could be 10, it could be a little
Thank
bit
you,
past
Rick.
10. Rick does a fantastic show, and he's very accommodating when it comes to Cubs playoff time for us. So hopefully that'll be right at 10 o'clock, and we'll be talking about a impressive John Lester three-hour ball game, and the Cubs are right back in the series, tied up at a game apiece.
Can I get really selfish? We'll also be talking about Mitch Trubisky getting two touchdown passes and looking awesome in Baltimore.
That's great, and we can, hey, listen, Mitchell, I hope he plays well tomorrow. We could even celebrate a Wildcat win over Maryland today, which was a great win for the Cats, and congratulations to Justin Jackson for becoming Northwestern's all-time leading rusher. So,
anything else we want to celebrate tomorrow?
Blackhawks win over Nashville? That was a nice win for the Hawks tonight.
Right. Maybe someone's turning a year older.
Oh, it's your birthday.
Uh-huh.
Was that today?
Or tomorrow.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah.
In 3 minutes?
Yeah. I should have a drink, don't
you're
going to
be 38?
Yes, I'll be 38.
You look good, Harry. You look good, Harry. Well, I look forward
compared
to seeing you tomorrow.
Compared to who I look good?
Compared to everyone, pal. Don't slow play yourself. Don't knock yourself. You're a great man, a great looking man, all of
compared
it.
To Danny McClain, I look good.
Okay, so the Dodgers beat the Cubs 5-2 in Game 1. It's not what we wanted, but let's celebrate, at least from my perspective, the fact that they are in the NLCS, have three more opportunities to get it going here. Hopefully it starts tomorrow night, and they get right back in the series and come on home Tuesday night.
Right, and Rizzo and Addison Russell came to life late last year in the playoffs, and by halfway through, I think, you know, we can see Rizzo, Brian, I think we'll see one of them smoke a ball tomorrow night.
I'd love to see Joe Maddon call Javi Baez in his office and just look at him and say, we need you. We really, really need you. I'll do some Jedi mind tricks with you, whatever you need. His energy did not look great tonight. He looked defeated a bunch of times. I like the cocky Javi. Give me the cocky Javi back, the guy who won the NLCS MVP last year. They need that dude.
They almost had Bellinger on that slide, that stolen base, where Javi doesn't even look at the runner. He just waits for the ball to come, and then he lays the tag on, and Wilson Contreras going Manny Sangui and throwing from his knees.
That was a great play.
Oh, man, it's a great throw. He reminds me of a young Mark Kermit.
You know what Javi does better than anybody else, by the way?
His tattoo on the back of his neck.
That's a cool tattoo if you're into tattoos. But the way he eats a sunflower seed right out of the back pocket of his trousers, as Pat Hughes would say, when he's in the batter's box, when he's out at second base, the guy's nonstop with the sunflower seeds. All right. Let us...
thanks to Joe Romano.
Thanks to Joe Romano, our outstanding producer. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.